The following is Dana Chesnell's closing keynote, Fooled by Best Practice, from UX Thursday Detroit 2014.
I love this part because I haven't actually done anything yet. Go green!
Go white!
Go green!
Go white!
Yes, I am a native Michigander. I grew up here at the end of Rochester Road. So if you go up Telegraph Road and do a little jog and keep going north until you've reached the middle of the thumb, you get to my hometown. And anybody who doesn't know that this is the secret handshake for Michiganders, you must leave now before the drinks are served. As a Michigander, I can safely say that we are among the least smug people in the world, unless you went to school in Ann Arbor. Kidding. Not really. Really, though, we are the least kind of know-it-all people that you're ever going to meet. And typically, we always think that somebody else knows more or knows better than we do. But we slide every now and then, and I'm going to tell you my story about that. I had just finished an amazing usability test session. I know that sounds funny. In so many ways, it was just like so many other usability test sessions I've ever done, and there have probably been thousands of them by now. But in a very special way, this one was different. This one revealed one of the biggest breakthroughs in a design that I think I might have ever witnessed. And it all came down to one word. The word was choice. I walked the participant out of the lab and I handed him over to the grad student who was helping us check everybody in and make sure that everybody got paid at the end. Rarely have I been so excited about discovering the source of frustration for users. I was pretty jaded up to this point, but before this session, the design that we were working on was preventing participant after participant from doing what they wanted to do. And I think we were up to participant, say, number 16 at this point. With the revelation from this session, we could remove a major obstacle by changing choice. The team I was working with was about to have a really important conversation about the word choice. I opened the door to the observation room where the lights were still off. Is he gone? Somebody said, yeah, I think he's out of the building. I flipped the lights on. The celebration began. The room erupted. Everybody was talking at once. That was amazing. We finally unlocked why people were getting unstuck. This project ended up being the thing I'm most proud of in my entire portfolio, and I've been doing this a while now. But about a year before this eureka moment, I got a call. It was from a guy named Drew Davies. Drew is a really nice guy. He's a great designer. He runs a design firm in Omaha, Nebraska. It's called Oxide Design Company. Now, Drew never calls me. Even though by this time in our story, we've known each other for 6 or 7 years, and we've worked on a bunch of projects together. We're on a strictly IMing basis. But on this day, Drew called me and he said, we've got to do this project and we've got to do this together because we're the only people on the planet who know what needs to be done on this project. The project that Drew was talking about was to make a responsive, accessible form. On the surface, it seems pretty mundane. Nothing special. In fact, probably everybody in this room has had some involvement in designing a form. It might even have been accessible. It might even have been responsive. It might even have been both. In this particular case, the form was a ballot. And we were indeed two of the very few people on the planet qualified to take this project on. Drew's company Oxide Design does a ton of branding and identity work, but he was excited about this project because he's an expert on design and all things voting and elections. His specialty is ballot design. He was the head of the most important design research project in the history of ballot design as the head of the AIGA Design for Democracy project. He keeps telling me that it's a privilege that I know him. His team at AIGA spent 2 years researching and developing a design specification for print and electronic ballots as commissioned by the Election Assistance Commission. This is a agency. Drew wanted me on the project, which I'm grateful for now, because I had done with Ginny Reddish the seminal research about the language of instructions on ballots. This project was also commissioned by another federal agency, this time the National Institute of Standards and Technology. NIST is in charge of voting system standards. Ginny and I learned in that study that voters do indeed perform better with plain language instructions versus the kind of thing that you usually see on ballots, you know, official jargony stuff. And by perform better, I mean that they're much more likely to vote the way they intend. People in our study also preferred the plain language ballot without even consciously understanding what that difference meant. The project that Drew had in mind meant writing a proposal for a grant to the Election Assistance Commission, which had released $7 million. I'm going to say that again, $7 million is a lot of money, specifically for research about accessibility in voting. Now, when was the last time you heard of that kind of money being available for anything related to accessibility? We had to be part of this, because this just doesn't happen every day. And the question, we did have a question in mind. The question we wanted to answer was this: what if anyone could vote on any device? What if anyone with any level of ability could use our form to vote? Right now, if you walk into a polling place in the United States, the voting machine for people with disabilities is off in a corner. It's a separate system. But we could, potentially, with just $100,000 of that $7 million, come close to reaching a holy grail of design, universal usability. But there's already a lot of research about designing for people with disabilities. There's a lot of work out there about making things accessible for people with low vision and who are blind. In fact, you'd think that vision issues were the only kind of disability if you talk to most software and web designers, because their test for accessibility is whether somebody can use the design with a screen magnifier or a screen reader.